Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live and in person here Wednesday, August the 4th, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour here on WWGH Radio. And we have got a great guest to kick off the morning here this morning. So much going on right now. Front page of the Marion Star today. Marion City Schools okays universal mask policy for students and faculty. A week ago today, we had Superintendent for the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi, as our guest, and he said no masks unless there was a mandate, and obviously things have changed in 7 days, and they've changed because of the health situation, and because of that, we're so proud and pleased to be joined this morning by the Medical Director of Marion Public Health, Dr. Michael McLeese. Dr. McLeese, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk with you. Certainly an interesting time. Can you tell us what the numbers are as of this morning in Marion County?
So the latest numbers that we have over the last 2 weeks, we've had about 90 new cases. From about a month ago, we were down around 10 or 11 over a two-week period. So just based on our case numbers, we are seeing a pretty substantial increase in our numbers locally.
So we've went from 10 to 90?
Approximately. Around 10 and a few weeks ago. But yeah, we've gone up pretty significantly in the last couple weeks.
Doctor, in your best guess, and it is just a guess, I would guess, what is happening?
So I think the main thing that's driving this appears to be the Delta variant of the COVID-19 infection. We don't have confirmation from the Ohio Department of Health lab that any of our cases have been Delta variant yet, but based on the significant increase in a short period of time, we presume that this is the Delta variant that we're seeing here, much like we're seeing across the country. And that Delta variant does appear to be more easily transmissible, particularly among the unvaccinated population. So between our lower vaccination rate and the new Delta variant, I think that's what's driving this recent increase in cases.
Does it make you sicker than the original COVID did?
So we're still not entirely sure. Some of the earlier research is showing that while it may be easier to spread, we aren't for sure whether it causes more severe illness. We're still, this thing kind of came on quickly, and we're still learning a lot about it. We do know that the best thing to prevent severe illness is getting vaccinated, even though we are seeing some breakthrough cases of people who have been vaccinated contracting COVID after vaccination. That we expected that. Even in the clinical trials, we saw that this was a, while it's a very effective vaccine, 90% means that 10% of people can still get the virus, but people that are vaccinated have a much, much, much lower risk of having severe symptoms requiring hospitalization and even leading to death.
And that's a big question right now. I was informed last week by Tyler Pigman when he was on that a few of these cases have been people who are vaccinated. Do we know how sick they're getting?
So I haven't heard. I can tell you just in my, because I do primary care here in Marion, so I have had a few patients. Now this is just a small sample size and kind of anecdotal, but I've had a few patients that have gotten it after being vaccinated, and they've had just very mild symptoms. Of the hospitalizations that we currently have, I don't know the vaccination status, but all in all, based on all the research and some of my own personal experience, if you are vaccinated, you're more likely to have very mild symptoms if you're going to contract the virus at all.
we know that this is a respiratory illness, and that is what has caused a lot of the death involved in this. If we would talk about minor symptoms, what would minor symptoms be in somebody who's vaccinated?
So minor symptoms are usually going to be, as far as respiratory symptoms, maybe some runny nose, a mild sore throat, a mild cough, some more what we call systemic symptoms, so some generalized fatigue, maybe a low-grade fever. Those would be some of the more mild symptoms. More severe symptoms are when you started to getting into to shortness of breath and difficulty breathing, and that's where people should make sure that they seek medical attention if they're having those more significant symptoms. But mainly the mild symptoms that we're seeing, particularly in the vaccinated population, are just maybe feeling a little more tired, maybe having a mild cough, but not anything too more substantial than that.
Schools are a big one. It's on the front page of the Marion Star today about what Marion City Schools are doing now. We just had Dr. Arusi on a week ago today. He said no masks when school starts. Now, apparently, that has changed. We're going to try to get him on later on this morning to see exactly how that has changed. What is the advice right now from Marion Public Health? We have 5 school districts in this area. To my knowledge, as of last week, none of them were enforcing a mask mandate. At this point, should you do that?
So what we are recommending, and we're following the CDC recommendations, as far we are encouraging people, if they're going to be indoors, close quarters with people, to wear a mask regardless of vaccination status. And schools would fall along that. So I don't want to speak for the individual schools, and I'll let their respective school boards and administrations make those decisions, but we are recommending any indoor setting that people wear masks to lower the risk of transmission, and that can be particularly important in schools, because depending on the age, a lot of the children may not be able to get the vaccine yet, so that mask provides that extra layer of protection for students that may not be able to get the vaccine.
Right along with the start of school, and maybe something that even draws bigger crowds and closer quarters, are football games. What do you see there?
So that's football games. Now, those are outdoors, so outdoor activities are certainly going to be safer than indoor activities. Not a lot of for your normal high school football Friday night, or even especially Ohio State game, social distancing is hard to maintain, and keeping that distance. What we would recommend is if you're going to be in close contact for that extended period of time, wearing a mask is going to be the safest thing to help prevent the spread and kind of slow down this recent uptake that we've seen.
There is still the feeling, obviously, that the mask does not help. This is the feeling, apparently, of about 60% of the population here in Marion, just in a tin-type fashion, and I know it's much more in-depth than what you could explain in the time we have allowed it this morning. Why does the mask help?
So the mask just provides that extra barrier that doesn't allow the virus in larger numbers to enter somebody's respiratory tracts, whether it be the nose or the mouth, and develop an infection. So while the mask that we commonly see, I'm not talking about kind of the N95 mask that we wear in the hospital, the more common masks, while they're not 100% effective, they do go a long way in slowing that spread and preventing that transmission from person to person, just by the natural fact that there's an extra barrier there. The masks can decrease the number of virus particles that enter a person's body, and the lower number of virus particles in a person's body lowers the risk of them becoming infected and having symptoms.
We know that a lot of businesses are reversing their policies very quickly at this point. A lot of, I believe, Home Depot yesterday went back to a mask policy in their stores. Others are getting close to that. Schools are obviously looking at their policies before school starts. If you go into a store, a restaurant, any place where there's a lot of people indoors at this point, vaccinated or unvaccinated, should you have a mask on?
I would recommend it. If you're going to be indoors at this point, given that we, based on the CDC guidelines, we do meet the criteria for substantial spread in our community, I do recommend that you wear a mask if you're going to be indoors.
Government lifted the mandates back on June the 2nd. We knew there was a Delta variant at that point. We knew that the vaccination rates in Ohio were below 50%. Vax-a-Million did not get them above 50%. In Marion, it's my understanding that we are at 40.61. That's only one dose, and 37.93 fully vaccinated people. Do you think politics was played here? Was this a big mistake to do this on June the 2nd?
I'm not a politician, Scott, so I leave the politics to those that are elected, and we've chosen to make those decisions for us. From a medical standpoint, we certainly were seeing the numbers significantly decline earlier in the summer and the spring as vaccinations picked up. Things were getting better. So I think that was kind of the rationale as to why the mask mandate was lifted. And the hope was that, yes, vaccines would continue to get better, and we would get to the point that we would have enough people vaccinated that the risk of these variants and other spreading things are would be much lower. But as we've seen throughout this pandemic, things change quickly. We are constantly learning. This is a new thing that all of us have dealt with, whether it be the medical community, the political community. Things are changing every day, and I think it's important that we continue to gather information. We look at the information that we have available at the time, and we make the best decision that we feel is safe for the public. And that can change with time, and will change with time, as any good decision maker should be able to look at any new information and react, and if things need to change, make those changes. I think that's a quality of good leadership. So we can always look back and say, well, we should have done this and should have done this, adjusting based on new information and learning new things, I don't necessarily think is a bad thing.
Going from 10 people in a two-week span to 90 people in a two-week span, do we know how ill these people are? Have there been hospitalizations, ventilations? Do we know anything like that?
There have been a few hospitalizations. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think at this point we are seeing less hospitalizations than we have in the past. And I think a lot of that is attributed to vaccinations, because we are going to see cases, but the vaccine is really going to protect against that hospitalization and severe illness. So time will tell. It usually takes a couple weeks after new infections are found before we start seeing hospitalizations. So we'll know more in the next couple weeks on how this affects more serious illness in vaccination. But so far, what we know, not just locally but across the country, the number one thing that people can do to avoid becoming seriously ill, ending up in the hospital and hopefully not, but from passing away from this, is getting vaccinated.
Any idea why, and I know tomorrow's the clinic where people can get $100, 18 years of age, Johnson & Johnson vaccine, call the health department today to make that appointment, 740-387-6520. Why is Marion County at 37% fully vaccinated and 40% one dose?
That's a great question, Scott, and there's a lot of factors that go into that. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of disinformation coming from a lot of different sources. There's a lot of vaccine hesitancy, and really, in my practice every day, I have these conversations with people every single day, and the multitude of reasons and concerns, almost everybody has a different viewpoint on it. So there are people that have very legitimate questions, and I have had conversations with people where we talk about some of these things, and people have changed their mind and decided to get vaccinated. And there's other people that read information that may not be sound medical, medically accurate, but that's what they feel. And it's important as a medical community that we don't get angry with these people. We don't judge people. We try to come at it from a place of understanding and recognize that this is a new vaccine. It did get studied just like every other vaccine, and at this point, we've given almost 350 million doses in this country. So we've got a good amount of data and sample size saying that it's safe, it's effective, the risk of side effects are very low. But there's a lot of misinformation out there. So being available to answer those questions is an important thing going forward. But to answer your question, everybody's got their own specific reason and thoughts and concerns, and it's important that we try to address and answer all of those as best we can.
Dr. McLeese, I know you're busy, and before I let you go, I want to ask you, the numbers obviously have went significantly up. Is this going to get worse before it gets better? We have the Delta variant now, more contagious. We know that for sure. We know that people have been unmasked up until today. The policies are starting to change, but they certainly have been unmasked. The cases have went up from 10 to 90 in a two-week period. Is the next two-week period going to be most likely a bad period?
I do anticipate that we'll probably see more cases over the next 2 weeks. Beyond that, where we are at things more than ever in the course of this whole pandemic, we have the ability to turn that around faster than ever as a community. If the community, and we're seeing that, you're right, a lot of the other, for lack of a better term, tricks or kind of incentives to get vaccinated may not have been as successful as we'd hope, but we are seeing, with this Delta variant out there, we are seeing increase in vaccination rates, and I think if we continue to see that, this is something that we can turn around pretty quickly just by increasing our vaccination numbers.
Dr. McLeese, one minor question here before we go. Do you think local government should act at some point? We didn't act locally. The state took care of it. Doesn't look like the state is going to get involved this time. Should local government act if the numbers continue to go up at this pace?
I think governments have a responsibility to protect their populations. What strategies may be used? I know the public health department, which is a public department, responds to the public and is tasked with protecting the health of the public, of the people of Marion County. And we're starting to increase our efforts again with this Delta variant. While I think local governments and health departments have a responsibility to act, what those actions look like can vary based on population. I think we've seen just telling somebody that they have to wear a mask and throwing mandates out there and closing businesses. Those things can in some cases backfire and not give the results that we need. So while we do certainly need to act, there's lots of different strategies out there that we can employ to educate the public of the current situation, make recommendations, answer questions, and support the public through this uptick in cases.
When we say the Delta variant is more contagious, does that mean 6 feet apart should be bigger? What is the difference there?
What that means kind of on a scientific level is there's more, somebody that has the Delta variant and has symptoms, they have more virus particles that they can shed through coughing or breathing more, a higher concentration of virus particles, and the more virus particles in the environment than somebody else may inhale can lead to infection. We aren't necessarily seeing that the distance travels further. It's still essentially the very similar virus to the initial coronavirus. So it's not necessarily the distance or that it's more resistant to cleaning products or washing hands or more easily able to penetrate masks, but it's more of there are just more virus particles in the air that can then lead to further infections.
Dr. Michael McLeese, the medical director of Marion Public Health, a lot of need-to-know information here this morning. Thank you, Dr. McLeese.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Stay well. That's very important information that we all need to know, and I was just notified there that we are going to be joined by Dr. Ron Arusi in about 4 minutes here via telephone and learn about the story on the front page of the Marion Star today. Marion City Schools okays universal mask policy for students, faculty. This is a little bit of a change. Last week to the day, last Wednesday, Dr. Arusi was on this program and said unless there was a mandate that there would not be a mask policy. We're going to find out from Dr. Arusi what happened and where we go from here in about 4 minutes. Now, we do need to let people know, because I believe this is your last day to make an appointment. On Thursday, August the 5th, Marion Public Health will be offering a $100 gift card to any Marion County resident who gets their first COVID-19 vaccine. This will be a Johnson & Johnson vaccine clinic for 18 years of age and older. ID will be required. This one-day vaccination clinic will be by appointment only and held at the health department located at 181 South Main Street. For more information on vaccine availability or to set up an appointment, residents are being asked to call the health department at 740-387-6520. According to the CDC, Marion County has moved to substantial for community transmission of COVID-19. It is recommended to wear a mask regardless of vaccination status while indoors. Our county is at 40.61% of at least one dose started and 37.93% vaccines completed. Sarah Nicewainer, Director of Nursing, is encouraging the public to get vaccinated, wear masks while indoors, and stay home if you are feeling sick. For the safety of our patients as well as our staff, Marion Public Health is implementing a mask requirement for anyone coming into the building. Disposable masks will be available, or you can bring your own. All health department employees will be wearing masks. Marion Public Health is also offering back-to-school shots by appointment by calling 740-387-6520. So if you are 18 years of age, are older, and would like the Johnson & Johnson vaccination, if you call the health department today at 740-387-6520, you can set this appointment for tomorrow, and you will get a $100 gift card from Marion Public Health. So that is the way it goes at this particular point. It is very interesting, but we do want to reiterate again that tomorrow, if you make the appointment today, 387-6520, you can go to Marion Public Health. If you're 18, get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and you will get a $100 gift card. Now, front page of the Marion Star today, Marion City Schools okays universal mask policy for students and faculty. To the day, last week, as I was saying, Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools, was on with us, and at that time, there was not a mask policy, students going back 5 days a week, I believe on August the 16th, because there was not a mask mandate. That's why that wasn't going to happen, was the conversation at that time, but my, how a week changes, and just having Dr. Michael McLeese, the medical director, on from Marion Public Health, we have learned that a 2-week period a month ago for COVID-19 cases in Marion was about 10 people diagnosed. In the last 2 weeks, the latest number we have, 90 people diagnosed in our community with COVID-19. Some of those people are vaccinated people. So on very short notice and very kindly for the next 20 minutes to sort all this out with us, the man who joined us last week and has always been a good pal of mine since he came here to Marion, Superintendent of the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, thank you for coming on short notice.
My pleasure, Scott. Unfortunately, we, as you said in the introduction, 2 weeks makes a big difference. And so here we are. I don't even know the word to describe, how we feel. I guess 2 weeks ago, we never thought we'd be having these kinds of conversations. But one thing we've learned from COVID for sure is that things can change on a dime.
Dr. Arusi, it was actually 7 days ago, a week ago today, we spoke about this, and at that point, the thinking was, and of course there are school boards and other things, that we're going back 5 days a week, and unless there is a mandate, we're not going to wear masks after last Wednesday until this morning. Take us through what happened.
Well, unfortunately, I think, the CDC had made some recommendations probably, within the last month about the reopening of schools and, very cautiously, recommended that, universal mask wearing has been effective in the past and that, it's recommended in the future that, if you consider that, that should be something that should that you should have a conversation about. Well, then ODH, I believe, a week ago Friday, finally released their recommendations for the state of Ohio and what we should be doing in school. And once again, the recommendation is that you, if you're unvaccinated at that point, you wear a mask. Well, then, over the last week, they've changed their recommendations to say that even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. And I think what they're finding is that, there's a definite increase in the amount of people that even are vaccinated that have been diagnosed with COVID. And what I think that they're finding now is that, there's probably more, that this variant is much higher or much more contagious than the original COVID-19 virus, and that it is kind of spreading like wildfire, if you will. And so even amongst the vaccinated people, there is still a chance that you could contract the disease. So, we had a lot of discussion amongst the Board of Education. Typically, the board is responsible for policies, but it's my responsibility to make recommendations to the board in that regard. Based on the conversations I had with Marion Public Health, recommendations from Ohio Department of Health and obviously the CDC and American Pediatric Association, we felt like it was in the best interest to, pass the resolution for universal mask wearing while we're in school. Now, again, we hope I don't think this is a mandate for the year. We will take it in weekly increments to monitor our community transmission of the disease. I'm told by Marion Public Health, and I'm sure I missed your segment earlier, but in the monitoring of the wastewater, and that there's possibly a 450% increase in the amount of virus that they've detected in wastewater, which isn't a good sign for typically what is to come in relation to the number of confirmed cases. So one of the things that have to be considered here, and I want our families to understand this, that quarantining and isolation has always been in effect for anything from the flu to, any other communicable disease within a school system. So if there are children that are diagnosed with the disease, contact tracing always has existed and will continue to exist. And so in order for us to keep our kids in school, the quarantining requirements, if you're unmasked and you're within 6 feet of somebody for more than 15 minutes, then you will have to be quarantined, which means, you're out of school for a maximum of 14 days. And our goal through all of this is to keep as many students in school 5 days a week in person as much as possible. So the universal mask wearing actually will allow us, even if we get diagnosed cases, the students within, you know, within that, unless obviously unless they're symptomatic, then they would be quarantined or isolated. But if they're not, they are not required to be quarantined at that point. So that's a that was a big difference in our decision to require masks as we start school on August 16th.
So just so everybody knows, who has a student who goes to Marion City Schools, because it's been different and we're getting close now, August 16th, I believe, is the start date. If you go in to Marion City Schools, adult, teacher, whoever, student, K through 12, when you go back on August 16th, it will be 5 days a week in person, but you will have to wear a mask.
Yes. Yep. That is the case right now. Yes.
In a county at this point, which is 37.93 fully vaccinated, 40.61 with a first dose, and I'm looking at the comments on the article which just came out 9 hours ago in the Marion Star, not popular on everybody's behalf. What do you think the fallout of this might be?
I think that no matter what decision we make, it's going to be unpopular with a group of people. So, when we decided to only recommend masks, because that was the data that was given to us, and that was most of the recommendations, were that you recommend to your families to wear masks. There was a group of people who thought we should be, you know, wearing masks all the time. And so I think that what we learned through COVID too is, because of its, you know, differencing of opinion within the community, that there's always going to be a group of people who don't agree with that. But it's our responsibility to provide a safe environment and keep our kids as safe as possible. And so if wearing a mask is, you know, one of the things that we can do to keep people safe, but also keep them in school so that we can educate them properly, you know, I mean, I struggle with that decision too. I'm as fatigued about mask wearing as anybody else is, but I feel like it's our responsibility to do all we can to keep the kids safe.
Dr. Arusi, we talked to Dr. McLeese, the medical director at Marion Public Health, just moments ago, and with the start of school also comes the start of football, and I just talked to him, and with everything changing, mask policies changing, he said any place that there are mass gatherings, grocery stores, schools, department stores, restaurants, and including football games, I asked him directly about that, people should have masks on, even though it is outside. Has there been any policy or any change in football games?
No. The OHSAA typically is our, the ones we take some recommendations from, and they are in constant contact with ODH. I think that, you know, there definitely is some different guidance out there that exists amongst the different health agencies about outdoors and mask wearing. I think it's always going to be, you know, a recommendation for anybody who is, you know, unvaccinated, has not, might have a vulnerable condition, that if you're in any kind of mass gathering, you should consider wearing a mask. And we will certainly recommend and promote that. But right now, we don't have a recommendation that says, you know, even in recess, when our students are outside of school, they will not be required to wear their masks. We will be required to wear masks inside. And again, the quarantining and contact tracing from outside is a little bit different than it is from when you're inside. So, you know, there's only really one mask mandate that we've been given by, you know, the government, if you will, and that's we have to wear masks on the bus. So our students who do, you know, use our transportation will be have been always required to wear a mask, but you know, we feel like based on the recommendations that we are going to continue to wear masks while we're in the classroom. But you know, when we are at sporting, and again, Scott, you know this as well as I, what we've learned, you know, that could change tomorrow. You may call me and ask me to come back on tomorrow because that recommendation has changed. So, you know, we try to stay as up to date as possible. We follow recommendations. Right now, we are at a place where we will require masks indoors, but we will not require masks anytime we're outdoors. So, you know, we're encouraging our we're going to do all that we can, even when possible, to do some things outside, even during the school day.
I know when school was ramping up and we were in uncharted territory last year, 2020, the start of the 2020 school year, that we have five school districts here in Marion, and a lot of the superintendents were getting together and talking about how should we do this, what are we thinking.
Yep.
We now know that Marion City will wear masks. Do we know about any of the other districts at this point?
You know, we try to keep in constant communication about that. And we've all, you know, talked about what recommendations we have. But I think it's a little bit, you know, we can't really compare every school in the county to each other just because, you know, the size of your building, the class sizes, the amount of kids that are considered in that mass gathering. You know, our middle school, Grant Middle School, has 1,000 kids in it. I'm not sure, you know, that and there are two districts that don't have over 1,000 kids as a whole from grades K through 12. So I think, you know, we need to be careful about, you know, judging schools in relation to their decisions around COVID because, you know, they're just not exactly the same environments that exist amongst all of our schools in the county.
Was there any feeling amongst the staff when this decision was made to change to mask wearing?
Well, you know, again, Scott, I don't think anybody wants to wear a mask anymore. You know, but I guess that's not the issue. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I am frustrated that we are at this position again. You know, I thought as a superintendent that, you know, a month ago I was really excited about us, you know, returning to normalcy. I'm still excited about the beginning of school and having our kids every day here 5 days a week. I'm not excited about the fact that we have to wear masks every day. I wish that weren't the case. I, as much as anyone else, would prefer that we not have to wear masks. But it's also our responsibility to make sure our kids are safe. And that's why we made the decision. And we think that, you know, the unpleasantry or discomfort of a mask is far less than, you know, the idea that maybe one of our kids or a family member would be gravely affected by COVID. So, you know, I think that's part of the decision-making process is I think we can wear masks and, you know, we can put up with that. If that's all we have to do to remain in school and be safe, then that's what we should do.
I think all of the medical experts here in Marion and most of the politicians who I've spoken to have all basically said everybody wants to get back to normal. Nobody wants to wear the masks. We don't want to have these rules, so on and so forth. But you cannot have a vaccination rate of 37.93. And with that, is that going to be the end game here? If you don't want to wear masks, if you don't want to have these things done, then people are going to have to be vaccinated. Is there any other solution at this point?
I don't see any other solution, Scott. I mean, if we want to return to normalcy and we want to make sure people are safe, the vaccine is proven to be the safest protocol that you can follow. You know, we're not at a place because we're a public entity to require the vaccination, although, you know, there are other vaccines that we do require, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're going down that road because obviously there are HIPAA laws and things like that that have to be taken into consideration. The only thing that we can do right now is really strongly recommend that if you are eligible for the vaccine, you go get the vaccine, and then we can progress and move forward, reduce the number of confirmed cases. And again, if we get back to the idea that we have, you know, 3 cases per week or 6 cases per week in our community, and you know, we will then reconsider at that point what, you know, what protocols we should follow. And again, you know, we had great success last year in our schools avoiding internal transmission of COVID-19. We had not had one case where, you know, one student gave, you know, COVID-19 to another student while they were in school. And I think that's because we followed the safety protocols that were given to us. And, you know, therefore we were able to keep a majority of our kids in school, especially when we came back 5 days a week. I mean, we did a really good job of making sure that our kids were protected while they were here. And we want to continue to do that. But, you know, right now the vaccine is available. Any kid that's 12 years or older should be vaccinated. I encourage families to take their children to get vaccinated. I encourage families of our children to get vaccinated, that we can get by this and we don't have to have these conversations anymore, because, you know, frankly, I'm as tired of it as everybody else is.
In our remaining 5 minutes, there are a couple of things I want to go over, because you have mentioned there that, I mean, there are mandated vaccines that children have to have before they go to school. We talked about that last week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When the FDA does approve it, you've been in education a long time. Can you foresee a conversation happening where this could be a mandated vaccine?
Well, I definitely think that conversation will occur. I'll be interested to see, you know, the politics, I guess, that's around that conversation, because, you know, there are certainly even political issues and differences of opinion in relation to the vaccines that we now require, you know, the smallpox and polio and those kinds of vaccines that are out there now that we require before students enter. And the only way you can bypass that is basically with, you know, a medical condition that prohibits you from doing that. So, you know, that will, I think once the FDA does approve that, and I think that's why Governor DeWine signed in the legislation that prohibits you from requiring a vaccine at this point, because the FDA, that, you know, that is still in, the status is still because it's an emergency approval of the vaccine. But once it's fully approved, I think we're definitely going to have that conversation.
And off of that, here in Marion, 37.93 vaccination completed. And I think it's important to mention that number as often as possible. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, a lot of businesses are changing their policies. Schools are changing their policies, and people want to know why. Well, here are the numbers. And on that, any superintendent has to be a student of human nature and study psychology, sociology. What do you make of the psychology and sociology? June 2nd, these mandates came up. We all took the masks off. And if you walk into a store today that does not have a mandate to wear masks, they all say, if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. Certainly, 63% of the store is not masked up.
No, I've been in stores recently myself. I am vaccinated, so I followed the mandate. Unfortunately, there's no, you know, again, when those orders are lifted, I guess there's no mandated policy that says you have to wear a mask if you're unvaccinated, because it's in conflict, you know, with HIPAA and some of the other laws that are put in place. I mean, it's obviously a personal choice. I think that, you know, for people that are unvaccinated to wear masks out in public, is certainly the strong recommendation. But, you know, unfortunately, there is no order in place for that to happen. So people, again, have a choice whether or not to follow it. You know, it's, you know, I wear my seatbelt every day because it's the law. And, you know, for a long time, it wasn't never really the law. It was a recommendation. So I don't know. Maybe at some point we'll get to that place where the politics are taken out of this and we, you know, strictly follow the science and we have more evidence to support that science, and that's probably the direction we'll go into. But unfortunately, it's just not been, I feel like it's not been around long enough, and people just don't really trust that's, you know, the exact science. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's an interesting time in it, and I do want to recap this. We have 2 minutes left here with Dr. Ron Arusi, and I do thank him for coming on very short notice, but we've had a lot of information thrown at us here in the last 45 minutes. Dr. Michael McLeese was on, the case medical director at Marion Public Health. The cases in the last 2 weeks have went from about 10 in a two-week period to 90 in a two-week period. That's in Marion County. And Marion City Schools now, when they start on August 16th, if you have a student or you're a teacher, anybody in the building at this point, K through 12, vaccinated or unvaccinated, will have to wear a mask when school starts based on this. How did the school board take to this when this was broached?
Well, you know, again, and I do an update to the board every week, and, you know, just a week previous to that, I always share the information that is shared with us from ODH and MPH and the CDC and all of those kinds of things. You know, I talk to board members individually about, you know, what the direction I feel like we should go into. And again, I was very reluctant to make that decision for Universal, to make my recommendation to the board for that. But I really feel like, you know, that's what the science is telling us, and that's what the health experts are really telling us. So, you know, that was my recommendation to the board. So, I think the board universally agreed with that. I think it's a unanimous by our Board of Education that we should have universal mask wearing while we're back in school.
Dr. Ron Arusi, superintendent of the Marion City Schools, what a pal you've been to come on short notice like this and in the past. And again, we might be calling on you as things go on in this crazy time.
Well, it's always great. I appreciate, Scott, you giving us the opportunity, because this is another means of communication to our community, too. So we would I'll always take you up on those opportunities to get that message out to our community. So I always, again, say thank you for all you do for this community, Scott. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Arusi.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Dr. Ron Arusi, there you go. We're taking a break. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
We're going to go on into the next years. What do you make of his opponent?
Now you're trying to get me in trouble.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. You're trying to